Mini episode 185 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, welcome to a new segment here for the 2012 NFL season. FDH Lounge mini episode number 185, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. And we are availing ourselves of Kyle Ross's long background in the professional football investment opportunity.
Doing pick-by-pick games
every week. Now, since we're doing these midweek, we'll just be focusing on the Sunday and Monday games, looking ahead to the slate as we're going along here. And we'll be taking a look at every single game on the card.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this every week, Ricky. Not only are we going to look at, these games from a gambling perspective, we're going to take a look at some fantasy football as well later on.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. And what we're going to do here is basically try to, obviously you don't like every game. I'm not going to recommend you play every, not, that's crazy.
Right.
Week one, by the way, traditionally, one of the two worst weeks to bet the NFL, along with last week, just so you're aware.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little briefer, probably. There's not as much body of work. But there is some value here in certain games when you look at the lines. If you really like a team more than Vegas does,
mm-hmm.
week one is typically the time to bet them.
Yeah, and that's true because a lot of times Vegas won't go as balls out on a good team against a bad team as they should. There's a lot of restraint that's in there.
Although this year there's some instances.
But there's times, yeah, that's true. They've done that this year. We'll talk about it subsequently. One of the games, their hand was forced. First one off the bat, though, Chicago with playing Indianapolis. This one at Soldier Field. The line that I had from about 24 hours ago was 9 points. I don't know if that's still the.
There's some nines out there. All the way up to 9.5 at some books here, Ricky.
Okay.
A lot of people who are in those suicide pools, the eliminator challenges, mm-hmm. where you can pick a team to win straight up every week,
mm-hmm.
and you can't use them again. I've been recommending Chicago to a lot of people this week just to win this game. Andrew Luck, first game on the road. I am not crazy. I'm going to use this week because there's not any one game, one or two games that I love like you're going to probably see throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple that I really like and I'm going to recommend wagers on. But I'm going to introduce a lot of my theories and kind of my styles for handicapping some of these games. I hate laying big numbers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Except late in the year when teams have kind of phoned it in. The thing with the NFL is when you lay something like close to 10 points, the back door's always open.
Backdoor cover, baby.
Yeah, and I could see that. But ultimately, I cannot recommend a play on this game. Laying two scores in week one is kind of tough. I could see the Bears getting a lead and then the proverbial backdoor cover. But I've been recommending the Bears to win straight up to a lot of people.
All right.
That's a very easy call to me. And I would lay off this game. I would not play this game.
And what I'm going to do, and this was the course with some of the programs I did in my years when I was broadcasting with the Sports Talk Network, whether it be Reality Check, Football Fanatics, whatever. I will make picks on every game, but I'm going to single out three every week and then one in particular. We're going to save those three for at the very end. I'm going to give you a pick on every game. In this one, I say look for the backdoor cover. I like Indy plus the 9 in this one here. By the way, and I'm not going to read this off for all of these ones here, but USA Today Sports Weekly with a nice little see what I did there. Their pick for the game, Bears 29, Colts 17. Very cute, fellas.
Okay, there we go.
Getting the revenge exactly.
Yes.
Except it's not exactly revenge because it doesn't make up for losing a Super Bowl. Dolphins at Texans. This is one where the line, it started, I think, about 6.5 or so, and I saw it go all the way up to about 12.
Yeah, and that's a product of the Hard Knocks situation and how down everyone is on Miami. Believe it or not, if I were to recommend a wager, I would actually take the points.
Yeah,
as crazy as it is, just because I like to play against large line moves like that. Not my favorite game, because the problem is Houston's clearly going to... Like, when you bet an underdog, Ricky,
yeah,
you like to think that they have kind of a puncher's chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Houston, from what I understand, percentage-wise, along with Chicago, are the two most popular picks this week in those eliminator pools to
Okay.
their game straight up. So a slight lean to Miami plus the points, but Houston, you know, in their own building, is going to certainly be tough to beat. In Miami, a rookie, again, rookie quarterback on the road. There's a lot of that this week. I don't want to back a rookie quarterback on the road.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm going to take Miami, but it's purely on the thought of a backdoor cover late. And it's a thing.
I think
again,
Cam Newton, remember last year, that incredible game against Arizona that no one saw. He had
yeah.
all those numbers huge. He was a backdoor cover late in his first road start against Arizona.
Yeah, and Ryan Tannehill, again, I've given my thoughts on him. I certainly don't think you'll be seeing the same caliber of production from him, needless to say. But, again, you taught me previously. I asked you one time if there was a way to be able to decipher smart money from dumb money on line moves, and you said smart money is either real early or real late. You see these big jumps in the week, and it's dumb money. It's the public. It's the mouth breeders. I'm going against Joe Public. I'm going on my Miami Dolphins.
And Houston was a real good point spread team last year. Typically, if you're a real good point spread team one year, you regress to the mean the next year.
Yeah.
Houston's going to be favored in a lot of games this year. They probably will win straight up but fail to cover.
They're very, very overvalued in this situation. Two of the absolute worst teams in the league. I think in my initial NFL power rankings, I believe I have them 30 and 31. Jacksonville Jaguars at Minnesota.
Oof.
Kevin Harlan and Solomon Wilcox took the glory of this call. Congratulations, fellas. You mean there wasn't a UFL game for you could be calling this weekend instead? But this is a game where the line that I saw at one point, Minnesota laying 4 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, 4s, 4.5s out there, but 4 is the most recent number. Again, with the unknown statuses of both Jones-Drew and Peterson, I know they said Jones-Drew's going to get some spot duty.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recommend this, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's as simple as just take the team at home in a battle of bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a slight lean to Jacksonville here if you made me make a pick on this game. I know I'm kind of like chickening out. There's not one that I'm like,
yeah,
go out and bet this one. But to me, Minnesota and Jacksonville are fairly even. So if you can get Jacksonville above 3, which you probably will, mm-hmm. probably worth a shot because 3 is such a key number. If you can get them at 3.5 or 4, they're probably worth it because they'll cover, you know, they'll just eke out the cover in a field goal game.
Here's the funny
Not a lot of points here either, by the way.
Here's the funny thing, and I realize this isn't something super scientific to go on, and I realize Del Rio's not the coach there anymore, but Jacksonville in recent years, week one, they just always play over their head.
11-2 against the number, last 13 years.
I didn't even know that number. Okay, but yeah, that's okay. You just gave me scientific reasoning behind that. Third time, and again, I am not, for anybody that's followed this stuff over the years, I'm not a big dog guy. I can't believe I'm starting dog today. My biggest picks are almost always favorites.
Well, that's standard. I mean,
yeah.
7 year, that's John Q. Right?
I don't feel as strongly about him.
Under
is
probably. I can't see a lot of scoring here. The odds makers have the total about 39.5 right
okay.
now. That's a low number for NFL totals.
That's
I can't see
way
that.
High.
Yeah, I mean, this to me just seems, although for different reasons, seems like it should get that Baltimore-Pittsburgh like 34.5 kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah, just because of the ineptitude of the offenses, not the greatness of the defenses. Bills versus Jets in this one here, this game at the New Meadowlands. The Jets, I believe, laying 3 to Buffalo.
I'm going to stun you here.
Okay.
I like the Jets.
This is really weird, but so do I. Yeah. This is just...
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Going against the public. 3 is a solid number. I've got these teams rated virtually even. Buffalo maybe a little better. Well, obviously, anyone who listens to our preview knows I've got Buffalo 9-7 in the playoffs, Jets 8-8 out of the playoffs.
But the money's been moving one way on this, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, on
okay.
Buffalo. Buffalo, trendy team like we talked about in the preview. Jets... Everyone's jumping off their bandwagon like crazy right now. I just think let's go against the public here and lay the number with the Jets in what... It's not my favorite game this week, but it's a lean. It's a definite lean to the Jets. I just think they can't look as bad as they did in the preseason. It's impossible, to be honest with you.
Good call. I think that's.
By the way, apparently Mark Sanchez finally did score in the preseason. It was only with Eva Longoria.
Oh!
I don't know if you've heard this rumor. That's what my friends in Hollywood have told me.
Well, if rumors are to be believed, he's gone from one end of the chronological spectrum to the other with Eva.
Oh boy.
He's only 17.
Sweet open.
Nice referencing a little off-air ditty there previously. The Patriots visiting Tennessee here this week. This
just is
going
to be one last thing. One.
Sure.
The Jets did sweep the Bills last year, winning by a combined 20-point margin.
Okay. Just all so right, you know. So we see them picking up where they left off.
Yeah.
New England is laying 6 in this one to Tennessee. And this is one, again, I think this would be the first one where we really diverge. You've given me some numbers about a team that loses the Super Bowl and how they come out the next time. I'm just looking at this. I know it's in Nashville, but I'm thinking to myself, Belichick, rookie quarterback, he's had all season to get the Patriots amped up about that loss. I think that's all the difference in the world. I like the Patriots.
Here's the thing. Getting 6 at home in week one is pretty generous.
Yeah.
And I can see a backdoor cover situation here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, New England does not have a great defense. So if Tennessee is throwing
it
late.
It is better, though.
So if Tennessee is throwing late, I think they could steal the cover here. That number, by the way, defending or the Super Bowl loser from the previous year have failed to cover 12 years in a row in week one.
Right.
So that New England falls into that situation. Tennessee 9-3 against the number of the last 12 times they've been a home dog. I would say a slight lean Tennessee plus the 6.
Okay. The next one up here, and this is one where there may be a little bit of a surprise on your part here as we look at this with St. Louis at Detroit. And Detroit is laying 7.5 in this one. Every year, and again, there's always like one or two games,
like
week one, they're completely inexplicable. And I don't know. There's just something about this game. We talked about the Lions' off-field problems coming into this season. Detroit strikes me as a team that, and I like them. I got nothing against them. They could lose this outright. I certainly like St. Louis for the cover. I like them for the cover. Yeah.
This is going to shock you.
I don't know what's getting into me. Yeah.
I like Detroit to cover this stuff. This is, I think, the first big favorite. This might be the only big favorite I like. The Lions are a very good home team. They've covered 11 of 16 at Ford Field, which, by the way, from the outside, is like the biggest-looking stadium in the history of the world. It just keeps going. I don't know if you've ever been to Detroit, just so you know.
Never been to that stadium.
Okay. I just think this is a bad matchup, because here's the problem. St. Louis can't compete with Detroit offensively at all.
Okay.
St. Louis will be improved, but, you know, they visited Detroit 2 years ago. They lost 44-6, and that's when the Lions didn't have Matt Stafford in the lineup.
Okay.
Sean Hill was the quarterback for the Lions.
Okay.
I think there's some growing pains. I think the Rams take their lumps here. I don't think the Lions just annihilate them, but they'll win by a double-digit margin here. I just think that in their own building, they do have some momentum from last year. You know, two indoor teams here, but to me, Detroit, just at this point, vastly superior. Detroit will gag later in the season. They'll win big here.
On the same type of line of logic here, this next one, Carolina laying 2.5 on the road at Tampa Bay. A lot of times, brand new coach, new regime, new hope, whatever, you get a team that comes out there. That, again, I'm giving a lot of week one plays that are more based on field, and you'll probably
hear week, like I said, week season. One is one of the two worst weeks to bet NFL games.
Yeah, I'm going on gut just a lot more than in the past, but it's just one of these things where I can see Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is a good enough team to split with a team like Carolina this year, and as such, I'm going to give them the game at home. I like Tampa to win outright. They're the dog, baby.
I will disagree with you here again.
Okay.
Just a little more disagreement going on here. Carolina swept Tampa Bay last year. Newton was phenomenal in those two games. 8 touchdowns he accounted for. The team won by over 25 points per game, including a real shellacking late in the season when the Buccaneers had nailed their efforts in for the winter. And Carolina's going to have an improved defense this year. I typically despise small road favorites in the NFL. I want to make that clear to you. But the range that Carolina's in, you're going to see that a lot as we go on through the year. I hate road favorites in general. I'm going to tell you why. The public is usually inclined to bet them because they see a team they like. Oh, this team's way better than this team. Oh, it's a small number. I'm going to do it. It's a constant trap, but week one is the exception. I've played a lot of road favorites in recent years in week one. It's the one time where I make an exception, and I will go Carolina laying a small number. I just think they're much better than Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I mean, you know from our previews how much I like Carolina, and I just can't see them. They're laying under. I love how the numbers dropped to 2.5 as well.
Okay.
That's big. You know, sometimes, oh, what? 3, 2.5 to the average per to the novice better, mm-hmm. somebody who's a bet. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but you know what a key number 3 is in the betting community.
Right.
So I really like Carolina laying just 2.5.
For a game that may or may not be that exciting, one of the most interesting things about it to me, for anybody who's got an NFL package here and can watch this, you know who the color commentator in this game on Fox is?
Who?
Mike Martz. How about that?
That'll be interesting.
Ron hear. Pitts, Mike Martz, Christina Pink.
As a matter of fact, I would say that this is one of my favorite games.
Oh, all right.
Carolina land the short number.
Okay.
That this is one of my favorite games. If I were to make 3, if I'm going to buy into your gimmick, if you will, I think there's 4 that I would definitely recommend. We've mentioned the Jets. We've mentioned, and I've mentioned the Panthers. There's 5 that I would definitely recommend. So there's 2 that I've, so those are 2.
Okay.
That I definitely, that you can star for me. Jets, okay. And Panthers. So.
All right, putting that down. The next one, I don't know how strongly you feel. I do know we certainly agree on this one based on what we've talked about previously. Seattle at Arizona. Seattle, another one of those short favorites, laying the 3. I like Seattle going away.
Yes, so do I, although I don't like the line move. It's moved too far for me to lay to recommend laying Seattle. Arizona opened up as the favorite.
In defense of the public mouth breeders, how is Arizona ever a favorite?
It was a mistake. It was a bad line.
It's a horrible line.
I think those, the sharps who hammered the line early, are going to reek. This reeks to me like maybe a 1-point win for Seattle on the road. Seattle is... They've always got that strong home-road dichotomy. I think they've actually gone 4-1-1 against the number their last 6 home games.
Yeah.
Or road games, pardon me. But, I don't know, Russell Wilson, another rookie start on the road for the first time. Arizona does not have typically a very strong home field advantage, though. Obviously,
right.
I mean, not, you know, it's not a real strong sports community necessarily. So I would lean towards Seattle, but very tentatively. I think that one's going to be a real miss if you bet it. Because that line's going to keep going up. It's going to go over 3. And in that case... I'm going to really not like, I actually won't like Seattle.
Okay. The next one here, I've really vacillated on this. This is the national game of the week on Fox, the Buck Aikman and Delicious Pam Oliver game.
I'm sorry, by the way, I said I really like 5 games. I really like 4 games. I apologize.
Okay.
There's 2 more. I like Carolina and the Jets. There's 2 we haven't talked about yet that I really like.
Okay. And
I just wanted to clarify.
That may line up here because we're closing in on,
yes.
on my final 3. 49ers-Packers, the great rivalry of the 90s here, the Holmgren Bowl. I've gone back and forth on this one more than almost any other game on the slate here. Green Bay, as of now, laying 5. It had been 7 earlier in the week. I mean, the money seems to be moving in the direction of the 49ers.
And I don't love this game, but I would lay with the line move dropping below 7, Packers at home. Niners expected to regress, in my opinion. I know you felt the same. I'm going Packers.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was leaning towards San Francisco more on the basis of them covering than winning outright. But as you pointed out earlier, that's a dangerous game to play of just assuming that, you know, you don't think a team's going to win, but they're going to do
Green
that.
Green Bay winning by 7, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's a touchdown.
That's true. Could well happen. We're up to the Sunday night game on NBC. Steelers at Broncos. Again, this is Bin Laden v. Gaddafi to any Browns fans out there.
Thank you, Hank Williams Jr. I suppose will you have all your rowdy friends over on Sunday night, by the way?
Not really. Not to watch this one. Broncos laying 1.5, had been 3. The line move being what it is. I'm going with Denver. I just think the emotion of the night, Peyton Manning with it. Now, again, if Harrison takes him out on the helmet hit in the second quarter.
Unfortunately, you don't get your money back, but
yeah.
we'll start waving the white flag and saying, doesn't count.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver under the circumstances here. I know it's a revenge game for Pittsburgh, but again, I just like Denver under the circumstances.
This is one of 4 games I had start.
Okay.
This will be the 3rd I've talked about. Jets, Carolina, and Denver. We'll make it 3. Like Denver, I agree with you. The emotion of the night carries them through. The number's down to 1.5. I just don't see Peyton Manning losing in his Denver debut. And keep in mind, too, in all seriousness, Ryan Clark, a key member of that secondary for Pittsburgh, can't play because of the sickle cell.
Yeah.
In the thin air. And here's the other thing, too. Matt Prater. in that thin air. So that's always
true.
Good for that late field goal to win it. So
that's true.
I like Denver.
Could be a 65-yard field goal at the end, and Ryan Clark being Strasburged by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
We come now to the Monday night games, the only doubleheader of the season here. As I always call it, when you look at the caliber of games on Monday night, it's really the old Sunday night football on Monday night for ESPN. It's more reminiscent of what the schedule strength was when they had the old Sunday night games, and yet they're paying a premium price
to
broadcast them on Monday nights.
Well, I'm sure you take great pleasure in ESPN not getting bang for their buck.
I do.
I believe that there was some politics involved. I think people were eating sixth, and I think there's some real punishment going. But I kind of like both of these games now that I look at it. First, the Monday night game is a tough game to bet because it's usually a good solid number because the public loves to bet Monday night football.
Yeah, Baltimore's laying 6 at home to Natty.
So I like the points in the game that I view as even.
I do too.
I like the Bengals plus that. That's a generous number.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get
that. Why did I think that was 3 for some reason? Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be like act all shocked at you.
No.
For some reason, I wasn't aware that line was that high.
Yeah.
I really like the Bengals plus the points there.
Here's one of the things, and we'll be talking about...
Oh, we're a national TV appearance, too. They'll be up for it.
So we talk about some of our precepts here tonight, as we will be as the season goes on. One of mine always is, and I only see a handful of these every year, but on the theme of the old beer commercial, Why Ask Why? Every once in a while, a couple times a year, there's a line that is so bad that, when you realize it, you have to realize this line is bad because even though it goes against all logic known to man, the wise guys know it's going to go the other way. Is this line almost borderline so bad it makes you think Baltimore could cover this? Is it so nonsensical?
No.
Okay.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a lot of games that you'll see like that. I would actually put the other game in that category for Monday night.
Yeah.
This line to me, while I think it is almost a field goal too high, there are a lot of people who expect big things out of Baltimore this year.
Okay.
I'm not one of them. I think this line is not totally knocking up. I guess it kind of...
So they're a borderline public team then, and that's what...
Yeah, okay. I don't think
explains
this is... Usually, those lines that really stink, like you talk about, again, typical road... Those are like the road favorite type things.
Yeah.
That's when you get into that.
Okay. So you and I agree on Cincinnati. The last game of the week here, and then we'll hit the big three on my list here. But before we do that, the Monday night second game here, where we'll be treated to the fine stylings of Chris Berman on
commentary. Oh, I can't wait.
Just shoot.
How
many backs are we going to hear in the
football
game?
It's the football game. I don't think any.
The Oakland Raiders. I just gave you his whole shtick in the last 20 seconds.
He was rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Well, yeah, okay. That's the whole shtick in 25 seconds. This has been a weird one. The Raiders are winning. I know you can't wait, because you know people like me are going to be having aneurysms, and people like you are going to get off on that.
I think I might just stay up all night on Facebook. I just think you and Nick Flash. How awesome is Chris Berman?
Sadly, I've got an image of that in my head playing out. This is weird, because the Raiders started laying a point, then they went to +1, and then now they're back to laying a point. It's been a weird ping-pongy kind of a thing here. Again, I don't quite get why. I mean, they're at home, but are we?
Yeah, I mean,
are
we stuck in
such, this whole dictatorship of the home team here?
Well, typically, if Vegas views two teams as even, the home team will be -3. You typically, it's 3 points for home field advantage.
Okay.
So when you see a home team laying 1, they're saying the road team is the better team, and I think most people will agree San Diego's the better team. I think they're a lot better than Oakland, though. I know they don't have Ryan Matthews, which is a big loss.
Yeah.
And I know San Diego's traditionally been a gag team. But this line doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
I mean, I know, is the public giving up that much on San Diego? Is Vegas? I mean, They're better.
San Diego's undervalued. Yeah,
I actually like both road teams on Monday night.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I like San Diego and obviously under this. Well, I don't know how obvious it is. I could be picking a tie, but yes, I am picking San Diego as the live dog, so to speak, to win this one. We now go to the three games here that are.
I've isolated which three you have.
Three strongest plays of the week.
And you know what's funny?
What?
I think I'm going to disagree with you on one of them.
Okay. Well, you, and again, I put my predilections.
One of my strong four is in this group, and I think we're going to disagree. Just so you know, so that'll be fun. That'll be a fun game.
That is pretty funny.
A little friendly wager here.
That is pretty funny. And it's interesting, too, that when you look at the picks for the season.
I don't like the other two games at all. I just wouldn't play either.
I'm sort of going against some of my picks for the season week one. There are teams that I think can summon it week one that I don't think as much of for the season, if that makes any sense. But I like them in the
second stage. Go ahead.
All right. The next one we have here, first of my big three for the week, Washington at New Orleans. And the Saints in this one are weighing, I believe, what, 7?
Yeah.
Is that the number
7
here? That's a thing where, under the circumstances, looking at this, you know, rookie quarterback for Washington, a New Orleans team that's going to be really fired up by everything that they've been through, plus the very recent hurricane, which is always good for a couple points in a New Orleans point spread. I like the Saints to cover. I like them to lay the 7 and get away with it. I know a lot of people are terrified of the hook here, but I'm saying the Saints will cover the 7.
I would be inclined to go that way, but I'm staying away. It's too many points for a Saints team that's got too many question marks.
Okay.
I would be inclined. Look, again, another rookie quarterback, by the way, on the road. I think all 5 of them are open on the road. I take that back. There's one we haven't talked about yet.
There's a rookie quarterback at home that's coming up next.
Yeah. So oh, good. We're saving the one I wanted for last.
Yes.
Okay. I'd be inclined to go. You can't. Here's the thing. There's a lot of games that I'll say this during the year. You either go this way or don't play at all.
Okay.
When the Saints are at home, you either play them or you don't play at all.
Okay.
They covered every game at home last year. They were 9-0 against the number. They had a point differential that was borderlining on absurd. It was almost plus 25. That is frightening.
So if you were playing this one, you'd be with me then. Okay.
Yes. If I were playing, you go to, not bet against New Orleans at home.
Okay. Next
one. And there'll be some emotion, like you mentioned.
All right. The next one here. Philadelphia at Cleveland.
You really
and
like
Philadelphia.
This game.
Is laying 8.5. Here's the thing, and I was talking about this philosophically with another one of our dignitaries, Nate Noy, off air the other day. And he was like, 8.5. You know, here's my whole thing. And I see this a lot. I actually, like, year in and year out with the Browns, particularly when the Browns open against a good team, the odds makers, I think, are way too cautious. The odds makers will not call a spade week one. Dude, if this was a midseason game, the Eagles would be laying 2 touchdowns, and you know it. But it's week one. We can't go out on that kind of a limb. What if Brandon Whedon is a future Hall of Famer? The odds makers.
Do they really talk like that, by the way? I know odds makers. I've never heard one talk like that.
No, I'm just. That's my caricaturing somebody's voice. I have a couple of them.
Okay.
But, they're winning 8.5. I think it's way too low. 8.5 is almost a why ask why. That's almost enough to make me think the Browns are going to get the backdoor cover. Because I think that line is so absurd.
I don't like this game.
But see, I
want to tell you something that shocks you.
Okay.
See, first of all, you brought up a great point.
Yeah.
Defensive lines in week one.
Yeah.
Makers, you're right. This line would be even higher had it be played in the middle of the year or towards the end of the year.
Do you agree with me? 2 touchdowns?
Close to. But here's the thing. It is almost unheard of to see a home dog of this magnitude in week one. To your point, it would be higher. It would be higher
to your players,
but
youngest team.
This is about as disrespectful as you can go to a home team in week one. I'm just nervous about the backdoor cover. You can't play Cleveland because I think they're so. And the Eagles, but the Eagles were so bad as a favorite last year.
Yeah.
It was never. I don't like. I'm surprised. This to me is. I'm surprised this is one of your three favorites because I think this is the one I hate the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But now I'm really interested because the game you saved for last is one I really like, too. And I'm wondering if we're going to disagree on it.
I think we probably are. I'm looking at this one here. The last one, according to you, Kyle Ross. This is a matchup of two division champions in 2012.
It is.
According to me, only the home team, or only the road team, is winning here. The Atlanta Falcons, who
started off, totally disagree, and I love it,
laying a point in this game. They're now up to laying three, which is enough to make you go, okay, all right. I mean, so the dumb money is going my way on this one, and yet that's still not enough to dissuade me. Matty Ice, the Falcons, getting it going, starting what will be one of the greatest years in the history of their franchise. I like them to win, to cover the 3 points. And I'm not going to say to do so easily, but I don't think they'll be sweating it the last 5 minutes. I like the Atlanta Falcons with a solid road win, laying the three. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 1, 2012.
And yet, I think Kansas City might be my favorite pick this week. I love it. This, remember everything we've said about the dumb, you've contradicted yourself a lot here.
Yeah.
You love the Falcons.
Yeah.
I like the Falcons, too.
I'm having to go against myself because
the Falcons are going to be a fine team. They're a better team than Kansas City over a 16-game season. But keep this in mind. Kansas City was humiliated at Arrowhead in their home opener last year by Buffalo 41-0. They remember that. It's a new coaching staff. The entire team's not going to get injured this year. Atlanta's on playing outdoors. I hate indoor teams playing outdoors.
It's September, Kyle.
I don't care. It's an outdoor environment. There's wind. I mean, okay, it's not like the air conditioning.
Okay.
Okay. The wind is why I like kids. Doo-doo-doo. The
But the autumn wind is not a Kansas City Chief, Kyle. It is an Oakland Raider.
I think this is my favorite pick. I'm going the other way.
Really?
Kansas City Chiefs plus three to open the year with the upset of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, my God. And again, we don't rehearse any of this stuff off here. His favorite pick of week one is Kansas City, and mine is Atlanta. Recapping on my top three here, Atlanta and Philadelphia and New Orleans, road favorites all.
Oh, and of course, road favorites. And here, well, here's my – I'll go with my top four then, I guess. So
okay.
I'm not going to have – unless if you make me in production,
all right,
I have a top three.
Okay.
I will
just roll how you roll. However
these,
many you
okay.
think.
These are my fave four, if
okay.
you will. Okay. Just these are the ones that I will legitimately recommend. Jets minus three over Buffalo.
Okay.
Chiefs plus three over Atlanta.
Okay.
Panthers minus 2.5 over Tampa Bay.
All right.
Broncos minus 1.5 over Pittsburgh.
Very interesting. I actually disagree with two of those four, so we'll have to see how that ends up shaking out. Those are our picks for NFL Week 1.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.